97.5 K248BR in Santa Cruz and online at kpfa.org. The time is 2 p.m. Stay tuned next for the Visionary Activist Show.
Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So before I bring in our splendid ally, Pat Ewing, let me just weave a smidge of context. I'm launching a whole series of councils, both on Monday night and through the Shift Network as well, which is called, it's the powerful magic that comes in dangerous times, you know, the birth of citizen trickster in all of our hearts. You can find out more about that at coyotenetworknews.com. Lots of free calls and whatnot. But yes, and the Women's March everywhere in the world and in Washington, D.C. was that. It was the powerful magic that comes in dangerous times. Much of that atmosphere for us to put in our magic backpacks that we have right under our chairs right here, metaphorically, that atmosphere of, you know, strong, fierce, dedicated, peaceful, incredibly polite, mannered, rousing, collegial, invitational, irresistible. Whoa, it was so good and strong, and there's more coming, right? You know, it says, Wendell Berry says, be jaunty even though fully informed. And we go, oh, and we're going to delineate so much spirited, rogue, defiant joy, dedication, you know, on our way. So, yeah, Citizen Trickster is really Bodhisattva Coyote. It's using all of the trickster dynamics, you know, and let's just do some now. Why fool around, oh, great dedicated listenership? Because Coyote, all of us, you know, in our magic backpack, we have a bag of lightning. Because Coyote Trickster is really older than humans. It's the originating lightning, liberating spark that sets the whole shebang going, right? And our task, in a way, is to track everything back to its originating, liberating spark before it got bamboozled, hoodwinked, snookered, all those things, and dedicate to that. So, you know, just reach everybody for the fun of it. Reach into your bag of lightning, and Coyote hurls lightning at the closed circle and liberates it into a spiral, which then wafts into the memosphere of collective group mind. And just everybody for the fun of it, think of something, some habitual circle thing in personal life or collective life that you'd like to hurl lightning at now. Just to set it free. Ah, that was fun. So, you know, practice. And, you know, all of these things up the level of magical availability. And part of our theme that we'll be animating is no prison for the unexpected. There we go. So, absolutely, it is the dark of the moon. When traditionally, mavens, the like of everybody listening, would gather to determine the course of culture. There's a new moon tomorrow, early evening, and we go. So we welcome the return of our ally, Patricia Ewing, at our Dark of Moon Council, where we are willing to compost conniption fits and harumphitude into nutrient for the desirable world and transform anger, rah, 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 which is a good start, but transforming anger into desire and deriving our strategy from Aikido's Art of Peace. Which is to spiral. So welcome, Pat, with your magic backpack yourself of deep spiritual scholarship and dedication and political knowing what's what.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here, Caroline.
It's a great combo to have. And I do, as I mentioned backstage, looking at your chart, going, ooh, look at you. It's all. The thing I want to say to the you part of all of us is that Neptune dreams vision says to you and through you to everybody, imagine that the deepest, most utopian, most idealistic, most big dream part of you is about to be completely welcome.
Wonderful.
It wants to be a release. So we've liberated some circumstance, and we can go anywhere that you like, oh great ally, but I thought we might run down some of the really heartening responses. Again, we don't want to be first reactors, we want to be first responders. So I love the Twitter accounts of NASA shut down, you know, so NASA gone rogue is a great one.
Mm-hmm.
I love the National Park Service, the Badlands Park Service shut down. And they were tweeting for a while, then somebody found him in a closet. And then they found another one. There's a bunch of those that just make you proud to be human. Oh, that's right. And I guess I should mention Thugsy the Clown in New Orleans. Oh, this is very fun, and I think it's fair. From Thugsy the Clown in New Orleans, a stringer for Coyote Network News, public service announcement. Trump has shut down the White House comment line, but the staff at the Trump Hotel's reservation line can take your comments 24/7. And that number is 855-878-6700. That's 855-878-6700. I think that's just adorable. And then Michael Moore has been so good with us. Call Congress every day. You know, rep and two senators. There we go. 202-225-3121. Again, so we'll repeat these numbers, you know. But I also, have you been reading Indivisible, their handbook?
No. Tell me about it.
Oh, yes, I will, because it's so strong. You know, how do we keep this energy going, which it is? I mean, it is right now, you know, again, you know, guardians and protectors, because I want to compost the word protester, because it means by your balls, by your testes. And, look, already, right this minute, gathering in Philadelphia, it's like, you know, and the minute, you know, again, the turnout outside the White House and everywhere, it's very strong. But Indivisible, you know, again, everybody can just search that. It's former congressional staffers who put out a handbook of citizen autonomy. And it's already been incredibly effective, like, you know, five people from Richmond, and they go, and because what they say is, you know, contact your senator, your congressman, otherwise they really don't care. And phone calls much more effective than petitions or email. And already it's been huge, and I sent out some invitations for them, you know, to come on radio, but they're busy. But no sooner did I do that than there was a little knock at my door, and little humble, cute Cabin John outside D.C. And my neighbor was like, "Do you want to join our Cabin John Indivisible group?" I do. And I actually asked the organizer of it. She's like, "But I'm too shy." And I go, "You're too shy to go on radio, but you're doing the work. Thank you. That's where it really counts." So it's a green fire. You know, it's a green fire of organizational competence and effective, I want to find another word than resistance, right? Effective dedication. I think dedication is a great word to put in our magic backpacks, because at the, you know, at the women's gathering, and, you know, fantastic. And all of our teammates, wonderful. There is a very strong use of the word fight and resist. Fight, 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 fight. You know, and we want you to support their fight. And I go, okay, it has its place, but not only. And I go, what about if we support people's dedication?
And if the word feels contracting, then you're bracing yourself. So if it feels like you're fighting and you're contracting, you want to use words that dedication is a word, embrace is a word, open.
Embody.
So then you embody, then your body feels more open. And we are at a point, and one of the lovely, we'll say one thing lovely about what Trump is offering us, is rededication, I'm not totally sure, to what democracy is. And it's a full participatory sport. Everyone must participate. If you leave it to a few, you come up with this president, and you come up with other presidents. This is a full participant, and he is offering us a great gift, which is to say, I'm here, I'm important, I want to participate, and this democracy means something to me. And everyone's voice is what's important now, everyone's participation. And there is a dream there, a wonderful, positive, loving dream of our future that all of this dedication can bring about. And so if you want to look at what Trump brings in, maybe looking at him like the cleaning crew, where he's just cleaning up all the old muck in Washington. He's bringing it up to the surface. He is helping us to see that which we don't want in a democracy, that which we don't want in society. It can look chaotic, it can look scary, but it does need to reveal itself. And it's our job then to clean it out and let it go. So our own positive, peaceful understanding, openness can help us to bring to fruition a more positive, loving culture that is more balanced and understanding, resisting it, fighting it, will put us right back in where this sort of effervescent darkness is around us because it's being cleaned up.
Right.
And scrubbed up.
And I think one of the powerful liberating dynamics that's going on is that so many people around the world and in Washington, D.C., on the powerful magic that comes in dangerous times, they hadn't ever been part of a march. It wasn't the usual suspects at all. It was the freshly awakened, which is why there was no tedious chanting. It was fresh and smart and witty, and it was good to have the usual suspects, you know, folded in like egg whites, you know, and liberated themselves from tedious patterns. You know, what do we want? Science-based policy. When do we want it? After peer review. So many great signs in London, you know, migration is older than language. And we go, yeah. Now, we want to honor the danger and compost the fear and embrace. That's why I also just so love the teammates reporting in, you know, the sanctuary cities, the feistiness of California. The head of the California Senate was very strong. He's suing Trump already on the 10th Amendment, and he was very not mincing words in a very appropriately strong, inspiring way. And, you know, Boston mayor, and they flooded the town hall of Boston with red, white, and blue to signify safety, you know.
Boundaries, understanding what you want, what you don't want in your life is all important right now because all of them are being blown up. Well, all of them are being changed. Someone like what initiated Trump into office is a new idea. How do we want to be in society? What do we want? How do we want it? That takes dedication once those lines are being redrawn. It takes our dedication to say, here is what we want in our culture. And that takes a great deal of thought. And if you want sanctuary cities, do you want a diverse culture? How do you want it? And our job is to bring in a sense, the positive masculine, which is we're seeing in our White House the shadow masculine right now. So how are we bringing in our own self, out of our own self? What is our own positive masculine? And how do we create boundaries within what we say we want, how we're healthy, what we don't want? How we want to be viewed, how do we want to feel, how do we want to feel? And that, your intuition, how you're feeling about yourself, how you're feeling about your relationship with having this kind of a president or that kind of an action in your own culture, actually is the most important thing to understand. It's very important to understand right now. And that where we may look up and look at this macro mess, but what is going to guide us out of it is actually our intuition. It's actually our own understanding of ourselves and being at peace with ourselves. And looking at someone like Trump instead of saying, I can't stand that guy. Okay, how do you compost that, as using your words? How do you work with that so you can release your dedication to him being on one side or another, having strong boundaries about that which you like and don't like and what you want for yourself and your community? And how do you positively work within that community? Like Pennsylvania today, the Republicans are in Philadelphia, right? Republicans are in Philadelphia. Thousands of protesters showed up. Thousands and thousands. Block after block of people showed up to say, you guys, we don't agree with you. We want something different. That's incredibly important right now.
And one of the main organizers was the, you know, keep Obamacare. You know, because all stories lead us to all stories. You know, people
right.
said, well, it's a renaissance of sane reverence that's rising. And, you know, positive masculine, we forgive everybody. You know, again, it's embracing across borders. I've forgiven Rachel Maddow for her obedient mistreatment of Bernie. I mean, she's doing great now. And she had Dan Rather on the air last night who said, I'm not terrified, I'm determined. There's another good work, dedicated, mm-hmm. determined, really good, you know, to partner with positive masculine Edward Snowden when asked, you know, should we be frightened? No, we should not be frightened. We should be ready. You know, and the masculine feminine dynamic, you know, Venus and Mars are so beautiful together after sunset. Everybody is democratically available to everybody who can see the sky after sunset. And it is the, you know, as Daniel DiMario several weeks back said, it's the sacred marriage. Venus and Mars aren't often together, but they are. And it made no sense for the inaugural chart going, well, why is it so beautiful? Why is the astro, oh, Saturday, that makes sense. And I was reading a Virginia Woolf essay in which she said, the bigendered mind, you know, that has masculine and feminine within it is the creative writer's mind. And it's like, well, thank you, Virginia Woolf, and your, you know, tragic brilliance. But anyway, that's good. So, yeah, so I just wanted to bring, you know, Dan Rather and Edward Snowden and everybody, you know, again, the positive dynamic, and that we... Yeah, well, also, Dan Rather was, he did not mince words. He said, you know, talking about narration, he goes, we're in the Twilight Zone. This is unprecedented. I've never seen this before. And organize, organize, organize. You know, he was chiming in with, you know, all of our teammates, you know, and very strong. And so there is much to, and then, as you say, there's much arising from the human spirit that is very moving, and it is the positive, powerful magic that comes in dangerous times. You know, who brought what to this Renaissance? You know,
we've talked about it many times, inner leadership. What is it to be a leader in your own life? How are you a leader? What is it? Is your relationship to leadership one of oppression, one of sanctuary, one of joy? And now that's coming to fruition as an important need, because our leaders are not representing us. And it's actually coming to fruition that individually, together, each individual and then together in community is more powerful than any leader. So our leaders are not representing that which we want as community, and our voice together in community can change all of it. And it's important to stay with it, and it's important for us to do this at this time, because I think it's a change in how our culture wants to work together. This is a rededication to democracy. This is a choice for us to say, yes, this grand experiment that happened 250 years ago that sort of worked and sort of didn't work and is faltered and is strange and is, you know, we can rededicate ourselves to something that we would want to imagine ourselves to be. This is not the end of something. This is coming as a sort of a piece to say, do you want this or not? And that's our choice. And, you know, there's a lot of folks talking about, is he the new Hitler? Is this, you know, is this Germany? You know, Germany itself had an unbelievable depression. They, you know, all the stories about money in wheelbarrows, right? You could to buy a bag of bread, you had all these cash in a wheelbarrow. We have a strong economy, and we have 250 years of democracy under our belt, where we actually did think, we used to think our votes mattered, and we'll get back to that. But we have something very strong and a basis to go on. We didn't have kings before this. We didn't have queens. We weren't oppressed, and we didn't have serfs, and we didn't have any. We have something to build on to say, this is what we want. This is our democracy. We're going to continue to make it better. And sometimes you need to see the opposition in order to see, you need to see something, a little bit of flack to understand and to rededicate yourself to something you really want.
Well, yeah, and to realize the dream, that it be authentic. Again, there's the con, which is the toxic mimic, and then authentic has real power, and the authentic democracy, you know, now, you know, huge leadership emerging from Black Lives Matters, from Standing Rock Chief, who's aspiring to meet with Trump, from, you know, those that have been oppressed and excluded from the inauthentic experiment, now embracing as authentic. And good points. And I just want to do a little tip of the hat to Germany, not to dive there, but, you know, to feeling the distinction that you've just drawn is really important. Like when we saw also the president of Mexico, you know, give his speech going, no, you know, we are dismayed at this. So we do not believe in walls. We believe in bridges. We are not paying for the wall. But he was very composed and quite leadershipy. You could feel the distinction in texture, right? And to feel the distinction. But
well, I don't want to say, though, that it isn't, we shouldn't be concerned. The concern is there. I want to offer solace and a reason to go back out to be dedicated to something, that you're not alone. We're not alone. We have an entire world rooting for us right now. Right now, the world is rooting for us as a people the way that they did after 9/11.
Well, yeah, and the reason I wanted to go back to November 9th humming away, right? November 9th, 2016 was our election. People did note the resonance. As Mark Twain said, history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. November 9th, 1938 was Kristallnacht. The Germans chose that date to redeem it, really, as the date the wall came down, right? So, and I have been, I do love MHC. I've been watching the dark but important story, the Weissensee Saga, which is about East Germany right up until the fall of the wall, November 9th, 1989, because it is about, tales of beauty triumphing over tyranny. Mm. And in a way, it does make us feel not better exactly, but to draw the distinction, because it's like in East Germany, right up until 1989, which is really kind of like a minute ago, you know, that was hardcore murder of your family and
right.
The Stasi and, you know, and whatever. And it's like, we have a lot more room. We have a lot more room, and we're pushing back room for everybody, more room, and embracing everyone. But it is tales of beauty and art and triumphing over tyranny, and we love from all places, and I think that the Women's March and the Men Who Love Them was, you know, it energetically, you know, it's very much like the fall of the wall in Berlin, mm-hmm. in which people were talking about their dreams, their artistry, their creativity, their communion. You know, the dream was there, and we go, yeah, yeah, that, and then now this, which was even more people, you know, and so there's a hum. So that's the way I like going back to Germany, is the fall of the wall and what's liberated then.
Well, if you're looking for a strategy, if you're looking for a way forward, it is to look at that which you have, understand that what you have, and then also look for that peace in yourself and dedicate that back out to community. Where do you find your own peace? Where do you find your own joy? And then bring that back out into community. And then whether it's coming together, whether it's making a phone call to the Trump Hotel, whether it is calling your senator, whether it's showing up on their doorstep, whether it's going to doing that and drawing that line of dedication, that line of this is what we want. You work for us. You will do this. That's what's being asked of all of us right now.
Yes, and I just it just cracks me up actually every time we mention the Trump Hotel reservation line. I just want to give it out again just for fun.
Absolutely.
I think it's, you know,
we got to keep doing that.
Again, from Fugsy the Clown in New Orleans, public service announcement. Trump has shut down the White House comment line, but the staff at the Trump Hotel's reservation line is happy to take your comments 24/7. That's 855-878-6700. So just put that on your speed dial for fun, and then also call Congress every day, as Michael Moore says, because it really does have an effect. And, you know, in Maryland, you know, I'm in Maryland, just outside D.C., you know, our representatives are pretty, you know, Jamie Raskin's a great human, and they're pretty good, although Elizabeth Warren did just vote for, you know, what CIA guy? No, Ben Carson. Anyway, so we got, but even for you know, in California, you have sane representatives. But it's useful to call and thank
that's
them.
Very important.
You know,
that's actually very important.
Yeah,
they will do more and more on your behalf the more you thank them.
Right.
They really feel the dedication, and they feel that people are behind them, and they're not doing things out of thin air.
Right. And even when calling the grumpy people who are, you know, not, I said, thank you for voting sanity. Thank you. Yeah, because we're setting the current there. Thank you so much for, yes, may your conscience speak to you, and the people who are behaving well what is best for everybody. You know, thank you. Yeah, absolutely. So that's what, you know, but also I just want to again honor the The fall of the Berlin Wall. Obama's first inauguration was magic in this city. There was a liberation. There was a conversational intimacy on the streets. There was an increased rate of synchronicity that was extraordinary. And the Women's March really had that. You know, just even later that night, just walking down the street, anywhere, you could talk to anyone.
Mm.
You know, at the checkout line, a woman conservatively dressed in front of me said to the checkout guy at Whole Foods, going, "I went to the march. I've never been to a march." And he's like, "Good for you. That's wonderful." And so I chime in going, "Yeah." And then she goes, "What about calling our representatives? I'm sort of shy about that." And I go, "Me too, even though I do radio, you know, but it's like, no, but it's good to do." And that's when she said, "But our representatives are sane." I go, "We call and thank them. We call and thank them." So, yes, from Thugsy the Clown in New Orleans, we love that witty thing. We love so much, again, ingenuity, that which makes us proud to be human. And that is, well, you'd said backstage when we were talking, you know, all about wild cards, and I was saying, you know, no prison for the unexpected, and that's language, behavior, inclusivity.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, a great woman leader, my ally Belvy Rooks. Hi Belvy. My house guest, and she also said, that she was out and about on the 20th and, you know, ran into people dressed up going to the Trump ball, and they were looking at her going, "Where are you going?" And she's like, "We're all going to something quite wonderful tonight, aren't we?" You know, and she was like, you know, just to be unexpectedly polite, not taking a hammer to the windows, oh, tantrum yoga, first time rodeo protester, you know, kind of, that was the 20th kind of energy of the, you know, people in black ski masks going tantrum yoga. But that idea of unexpected, they were disarmed. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
They were disarmed by her manners, and they wished each other well. And that opens things, because I want myself and our team to be available story crafters when the energy is released of so many people who voted for Trump, realizing as the razzmatazz swindle becomes evident, they're all available for a story. There's a huge energy there. And so it's, you know, it behooves us to compost our finger wagging certain, you know, I love the etymology of condescend. It means we all go down together.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, right, condescension has no place. Invitation. You know, let's throw condescension into the cauldron and go, come on over here. We need you. We need everybody. We're going to do these sane, reverent things, which is where Standing Rock was so genius. And the veterans also gathering there saying, this is for everybody. This is everybody's story. If you're against eminent domain, you know, if you're, you know, to find the guiding story creates the atmosphere. Yeah.
We're going to find how smart we are and how creative we are and how clever we are, and our neighbors are as dedicated to their families and community and we never really realized it. I used to live in Southern Maryland, which is quite conservative, and there are 1,000 women in a very tiny, smallest county in Maryland. 1,000 people organized now, dedicated to community, dedicated to a positive change. And it wouldn't have happened before. And a friend of mine even said, she said, well, I used to leave it to people like you who have done this for a living. And I thought it was a profession. And now I know it's my job. It's my job to get out there and call. It's my job to do this as well. I'm like, hey, I'm going to retire. You go. You go. So I think people are figuring sort of that out. I was leaving the mall, and we ran into some actually quite drunk Trump supporters, and there was a woman there, and she was upset by the march. She was very upset by it, and she was saying, I'm a strong woman. Why are you doing this? I'm kind. Don't you understand? I'm kind and I'm strong. And the friend of mine who I was with, she looked at her and said, oh, honey, right over there, everyone wants you.
Mm.
And I thought that was a beautiful dedication to, she was expressing herself, and my friend was saying, we're just like you, and you're welcome. You're welcome to join. And then it was a wonderful end to the day.
It is. unexpected liberates. Again, it is the path of a trickster redeemer throughout time, and fairy tales and effective strategy and all of that. Our wonderful ally guest today is Patricia Ewing, and we're going to take a very short break, but we are here at this Dark of Moon Council, oh, dedicated listenership, you know, where we are composting conniption fits and harumphitude, into nutrient and transforming anger, which is a good place, anger, but into desire, going, all right, you're angry about this. What do you desire? Because desire is magnetic. And we'll be right back after this very short break.
She took the consolation that dazzled and crossed his eyes. She shook the constellation that dazzled and crossed his eyes. She showered his head with quasar and made his coffin cry.
I'll sit down.
Chanty, 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 come blow my chanty home. Indigo skyship, make his voice long.
Welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. With us today is our guest, Patricia Ewing, she of great political background and deep spiritual scholarship, she who years ago called St. Paul the early Karl Rove. I so love that, the meaning that he was kidnapping the liberating teachings of Jesus into state servitude. And I just recently learned what orthodox means. Ortho means straight, like orthodontist, right, is straight teeth. And orthodox is straight teaching. We like our teachings curvy, and curvy is really the way to go. As we want to do some work with the art of peace from Morihei Ueshiba, the Aikido, the art of dancing and disarming tyranny. But why not open the phones? Why not? We say so. You can join us with a blessing, a insight, a vajra, you know, at 510-848-0818, 510-848-0818. We haven't opened it up for a while. Oh, there we go. We're open to trickster. But there's a lot of places we want to go. I like, you know, for everything toxic or everything muggly, we do the witty metaphoric animation. So I do love saying, you know, there's WikiLeaks and then there's WiccanLeaks. WiccanLeaks is, may anything up to no good be revealed, rendered harmless, and an occasion for mirth in the fullness of time. So I'm always fond of that. But yes, I always travel with my art of peace, and I'll start off with one quote and then hand it to you, Patricia. So the art of peace says, do not stare at your enemy's eyes. He will mesmerize you. Do not stare at his weapon. He will terrify you. Create your own magnetic field, and then you can dance anywhere you want. And that's what's going on. You know, the Women's March, the global thing, again, the women and the men who love them, and wonderful little 8-year-old boy, his mom said he's so proud of his sign. He made a little Venus and a Mars sign and rainbow colors, and he said, you know, beauty comes from diversity, said this little 8-year-old boy's sign. We go, this makes you proud to be human. There we go. It's really great. So, yes, and you've opened up the art of peace to something. Yes,
I did. A lovely thing. As soon as you concern yourself with good and bad of your fellows, you create an opening in your heart for maliciousness to enter. Testing, competing with, and criticizing others weaken and defeat you.
These are really interesting, tough, experimental things to work with. It's like one of the principles of metaphysics, you know, from way back in the Kabbalah. It says, you know, do not dwell on the unlovable aspects of another, for you are a creator, and they will manifest in your life. Now, It's a really tough one, and you know, but it's just something to put in our syncretic brew, going, yeah, you know, and at the very least, you know, I think critique, remember that, you know, criticism and diagnosis, I like putting the hyphen in diagnosis, because dia means everywhere and gnosis is wisdom, a critique and a diagnosis was always intended to heal. Right? And I think that's part of our fair dynamic, which is to critique and then bless. It doesn't, you know, trickster likes a spicy blessing because we are friends of his soul, we are friends of his indictment, because it's not good for somebody to get away with nefariousness. I think that's fun.
Yes, but understanding, understanding what you, what your values are, understanding your morals, understanding your connection with the divine, understanding that always needs boundaries. There's always a boundary. There's always a way to understand where you begin and someone else ends. So critique or underseeing somebody, under, you know, how am I being treated? Am I being treated okay? How do I feel like that? How am I treating somebody else? How do I feel about that? How do they feel about it in communication? That's life. So you cannot grow without boundaries. You cannot grow without a sense of what you want in your life and what you don't want in your life and what you want in your community and what you don't. That is how we grow spiritually. You have to exercise. You have to exercise your emotions. You have to exercise your boundaries. So understanding if somebody is positive in your life, understanding if somebody is has a point to make, understanding whether you like whether somebody something someone else is doing is a positive boundary that we create in order to effectively run community in the most positive way.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are some things to the social media in Iraq, you know, Trump saying hideous, ignorant, ugly and criminal things, not that I want those to manifest in my life, but those are just, that's just true about we got to take the oil, and it's like, that's, you know, war and torture, war crimes and all those things, you know, to point it out, it's like,
but of course you can point that out. Why wouldn't you be able to point that out?
No, I know, of course.
Yeah, of course.
But that's also why I love playing with the word impact, which I think is overused. You know, we impact investing. We want to have an impact. It's like really a short, violent encounter as opposed to a long, curvy influence. Friend David Grimes helped me out there going, but if you put a hyphen in it, it's impact. And I go, yes, there we go. I want the impact. The thing that disrupts and liberates. Mm-hmm. It disrupts and liberates. And the spiral, again, with social media in Iraq would again, for us Americans to make common cause with those in Iraq going, no, of course we won't. No. That's really crucial. So we are inviting people to call in 510-848-0818. I bet there are people on the call, but in Washington sometimes I don't always hear that. Should I is there O Berkeley? Is there somebody on the line? No. Yeah, we can hear you, yeah. There we go. Well, that's a fun idea. What's the right phone number? Aha, it's changed. So long. Okay, 848-4425. There we go. Okay, Gray Panther from SF. Come on in.
Hello, hi. Thank you.
Hey there.
Can you hear me?
We can.
Good. Thanks for taking my call. And I'm heartened to hear so many elder voices. It wasn't a million elders, but a lot of us showed up. And I'm experiencing a curious dissonance as a Social Security recipient. A year ago, I received essentially a death sentence from Obama. I voted for him twice. He said he was going to cut my fixed income, which I'm barely eating on, by 85%. It didn't happen. Then I hear recently from the fascists that I would never vote for, that those of us already receiving these benefits won't have them cut. And it's an odd, curious, I feel like I've been, had a death sentence commuted.
It's physical,
and visceral.
All right, let Pat respond. Do you know what that thing is? Somebody's income being cut by that?
Well, there was cuts to Social Security pending, and then and talked about and discussed, but they're constantly talked about and discussed. And I want to go back to, I think the point that you're making is you don't really know. You have to. Who are your friends right now, and who are your allies, and people in leadership are an old paradigm. All these people are sort of an old paradigm. We need those people in right now, either in elected office, but also held accountable by all of us.
It allows me to help others. from a
yes.
more secure footing. It allows me to think beyond myself and my own panic and relate to the others. Will my family be deported? Will my clinic be closed, et cetera? Leonard Peltier.
Right.
It's a very odd dissonance. Thank you so much. And I wish Barack Obama had legalized medical marijuana on a federal level the way that he had done with same-sex marriage. And I will, as a 66-year-old medical marijuana user, I'm just going to keep on going. It's recreational, legal, but there's no such thing as all marijuana use is medical. And I would love
I think
to
so
see
too. Right.
A dispensary for every alcohol dispensary, every toxic pharmaceutical dispensary. I'd love to see the herb that leads into the burdock, the dandelion, the other healing medicine.
That's great.
Your list of what you desire from your government, what you want legalized and not, and sort of the, that's as important as anybody else, any elected official's list of what they want to bring into office. Yours is just as important.
And the underlying. The underlying support, great Panther, because when I was covering the 2000 election with grown-up reporters and hanging out with operatives, Republican and Democratic operatives, everyone was smoking weed.
Is wonderful.
Everyone was smoking weed. Anyway.
Is a beacon of light.
What?
Kamala Harris is a very good piece of good news. She is really good in so many ways. So let's.
That's good. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Gray Panther.
Waters is the real president for me. She's magnificent. Thank you so much.
Excellent.
Thank you.
These are important blessings. You're spiraling out, and I just wanted to say yes that and also one of the normal conferences in a hotel in 2000 as well. Not only were all the Republicans smoking up, but so were the sheriffs, so were the whatever the thing. You know, again, there's again reaching out for common sanity, and I love that at that point when I got off the elevator, and going to room 420, there was hotel security rushing, and I was like, and they were like, no, they were rushing to put towels over the smoke detectors so nobody would be disturbed by the incredible volume of things. Anyway, so there's that. But yes, all those are great points. Great Panther.
I want to say one more thing on all of this is look for allies where you find them and take them at face value. So if you're finding that somebody is, if they're helping you in what you're doing, labels are going to go by the way, whether it's Republican or Democrat or whatever label. It's what's important for you and your family and what's important for your community, and continue to put that forth. So wherever you find your allies, keep them.
Right. And the Aikido of fear, texts an ally, the Aikido of fear into also desire, mm-hmm. and well wishing for everyone. May they have access. We will go to our next caller in what? Sorry? Oh, yes, Craig. Craig in Mariposa could possibly be.
Craig.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Hello.
Great. Hello. I'm so glad that you decided to open phone lines. It has been a long time, and it's really appropriate given the discussion and given that the White House comment line is down.
Yes.
I will say, not in fairness to Trump, I mean, he deserves to be blamed for all sorts of things, but it was actually closed. I went online, it was actually closed during the last week of Obama, so whatever. Hopefully it'll come back on. But what I called about two things. One actually had to do with the part of the White House website, and then after that I want to compost some harumphitude. Very quickly about the White House website. There's a petition part of the White House website where there are official petitions. This has been up for a number of years, and anyone can post a petition. Anyone can sign them. They validate your email address to make sure that people aren't voting multiple times. And then when these petitions get enough signatures, they are supposed to get a response. Well, there's one up now asking for, demanding, Donald Trump release his full tax returns to verify that he's in compliance with the emoluments clause of the Constitution. This is a very live issue right now, and he's out there still saying the only people who care about it are the reporters. Well, in 4 days, this petition has already received over 350,000 signatures, and I think we want to aim for 1 million. So go to the White House.
Absolutely.
go to whitehouse.gov. It's really easy to find, and this is absolutely the top petition. You won't have any trouble finding it. Trump tax return. So, and it's been reported. It's already getting picked up in various news outlets, and so, you know, this is a good thing to do. So, now... How often did you do? You can hear it, right?
yeah, I understand.
I want to say, but before I get into my hello pitches, I've listened to you for years, Carolyn, and I love words as much as you do, and I love hearing your, you know, what shall we say, deconstruction and reconstruction of words. I really loved Bodhisattva Coyote. Oh, I love that. That's fabulous. What, especially where I am, I'm surrounded by coyotes. So here we go. I this is from the heart. I want to ask you, please reconsider what you're... I think you're going too far with ruling out the use of the word protest, ruling out the use of the word fighting. When you're literally, say you're walking down a dark alley and someone jumps on you, you definitely need to fight back. The real issue is you don't want to stay, be stuck in fighting back. You don't want to...
This is Philip Muldery, host of The Sunday Show. Join me and my guests every Sunday morning, 9 to 11. We'll be talking about politics. We'll be talking about the state of things around us. Plus, we open the phones to your called in questions and comments. That's every Sunday morning, The Sunday Show on Community Powered KPFA.
Funny how money changes situation.
KPFA Undercover and Yerba Buena Center for the Arts invite you to celebrate the power and impact of hip-hop as they honor the beloved and iconic album, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. 15 local bands from 15 different genres will be reinterpreting the groundbreaking record on February 16th through the 18th at YBCA's Class Sig Hip Hop Festival. This event is sponsored by KPFA, is wheelchair accessible, and benefits Undercover, a local non-